Good morning and welcome to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. And now, WHTC Money Matters.
Hey, good morning, Holland, Zeeland. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. Kerry, calling in today from Rochester Hills, home of my second oldest daughter's birthday today.
Awesome.
Six years old.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, no, that's good. And having a party for Austin, who turned 7 this week.
So, yep. He's 7 already. Wow. They grow up in a hurry, don't they, Jack?
Taking him to the show today, something about birds. I don't know what it is, but it's something about birds, new release. So.
Okay, cool.
Going to the 125 show. So, hey, today's show, steps to have your retirement independent. So we're going to talk about that today. First of all, our show today is being brought to you by Borman Law Offices. Mary Jo Borman is a state planning attorney located in our office at 123 East Main in downtown Zeeland. You can contact her at 616-772-2487 or visit her website at www.bormanlaw.com.
Yeah, we thank Mary Jo for all the help that she gives her clients out there, and it's wonderful to have her part of the office. And hey, great show, 7 Steps to Retirement Independence, and a little bit by the numbers, but what a week in the market. You know, my first by the numbers says this, Jack. You know, there's 6 full trading weeks left in the year, probably a little bit less than when this was printed. And the S&P 500, which is an index of 500 stocks, is up nearly 28.5% year to date, which is almost three times better than the index's 50-year average of 9.8%.
Yeah, no, big numbers. You know, it kind of concerns me a little bit because people are starting to get a little bit cocky with the returns, and they just want to pile back into some stocks or pile back into things they shouldn't do with their money. And, you know, it's always good to now take some profits, hightail that to a place where it's going to be preserved. That's the most fearful thing that I have is people are going back to their thought processes of, you know, what we've seen in 99 and 2002 and really some of those years where people were pretty cocky with their money. And
well, and they who coined the phrase irrational exuberance?
Yeah, no, that's it. So I always talk about, you know, it's really you're up more than we thought for. You know, as I tell people, I'm happy with 6 to 8% every year. I'm elated. This year it's obnoxious returns. We were lucky. You know, in some of those years you need to be lucky. But, you know, kudos to those people who have the forethought to put money away, because that's what our show is about, is steps to having retirement independence. And it's those people that have their steady eye on the course, steady eye doing the things they're supposed to be doing, putting money away for retirement, putting money away for kids' college, both parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, and holding the course, because it's easy to hold the course when things are up. It's even better to hold the course when things are down, because you make a lot more money when things are down and you buy at lower prices, and people seem to forget that. So people listening today, I just want to remind you, when we, you know, sit across the table from you and ask you to do some things, that to take maybe a less return on some stuff, all we're doing is asking you to take some of the profits and put it away in the closet, maybe getting 5 or 6%.
Yeah, and you know, that goes to what we call, here's a good example, Jack, starting early, you know, to accumulate $500,000 in pre-tax account by age 60. A 25-year-old would need to invest $133 twice a month, so really $266 a month for 35 years, and that would make a modest, and this is based on 6%, so $266 a month at 6% for 25 years to get to $500,000. Now, if you're starting a little bit later, a person who is age 40 required Choice monthly deposit increased to 451, or really it is basically, you know, $902 for 20 years to get to that same $500,000. So the key there is to start early, but also to remember saving a little bit each month. The habit of putting away money each month is the key behind this.
Yeah, that's the key. You know, that's the whole key with everybody. And I realize that's hard to do at 25, but if you have somebody helping you, you know, parents and grandparents, financial advisors like we are, you know, we can help you realize what you're going to have if you start doing stuff at an early age. And, you know, sometimes, Kerry, people don't have people with that ability to help them and put money in the right buckets. And, you know, here's some real interesting things. You know, you're talking about last month and where we are year to date. 20 of the last 23 Decembers have produced a positive return of at least 2%. So December overall has been a good month. And I know we're a week or so away from December, but December has been a good month. 20 out of the last 23 Decembers you've done 2%. And, you know, people ask me, where do we think the market's going? I still think with the analysts that we talk to each week and people that are in the job of predicting, you know, many people still think we're in the fourth inning of a nine-inning game. So, you know, we're not even up to the seventh-inning stretch yet, and other people, the doomsayers, think that there's a market correction happening. But if you look out there, productivity continues to do well. Price earnings continue to be at an average price. People have cash, meaning businesses have cash, people have cash available to invest. So it's kind of a, you know, still a great time to, it's always a great time to put money away, but I don't know if you need to be fearful just yet. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, one of the things that we've learned, Jack, is that the valuations that are out there, meaning the valuation of a company, valuation of a market, stocks, are really, when we look at them compared back to 2003, compared to 2008 when the market had that exuberance going, we had the dot-com back earlier than that, valuations of companies were double what they are today. And that tells you back then they were overvalued. Today, are they overvalued? No, they're still half of what they were back then. So there's very fair valuations out there of companies. And the other flip of that is earnings. Earnings today are double what they were back then. And so we have two things still showing really good with companies out there.
You know, and we have no inflation right now. You know, people are fearful of deinflation, but we have no inflation out there right now. Interest rates are still low, and some people are saying interest rates are going to be low for another 4 years, maybe even 5 years, which is good. We still have quantitative easing, putting money in the system. You know, people, there's been alternative ways for people to borrow money today because banks aren't loaning money as freely as we think they should. There's alternative sources out there for corporations to get money, which has been good for them. Here's a real interesting thing. This is back to the budget. Because we're almost coming up to another budget issue coming up here at the end of December, January 1st. And, you know, it's really interesting because we had the budget issue, and it's like, why aren't all these congressmen and senators talking about the budget? We won't talk about that until it's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. The government, who saved money during this budget crisis where they furloughed the people, you know, they didn't pay them.
Yeah.
Well, now they're going to pay them for 16 days of work that they didn't have to work. They're going to pay them $2.5
billion.
So, you know, the thought process of being shut down, no, just pay them. Just furlough them, just send them on vacation. But I also understand that these are people's lives. They didn't want to take a vacation. They didn't want to work. But if you're not at work, then I question, why are you getting paid? Or, you know, in businesses, if this happens, you are forced to take personal days, which you're not getting paid, or sick days, which you are getting paid, or vacation days.
Mm-hmm.
But the federal government, they just pay them.
Well, it's not logical, and you know, just they're not in the real world in a sense. But hey, listeners, we're going to talk more about that, more about 7 steps to having retirement independence here. And we're going to be right back after our break. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. We'll be right back.
Listeners, welcome back to WHTC Money Matters. This is your host, Kerry Cooley.
Yeah, and this is Jack Godfrey. We're talking about some more interesting things. Kerry, here's another interesting thing is the world's daily oil consumption has increased 32% over the last 20 years. So the daily consumption of oil has increased 32% over the last 20 years. China's daily consumption has increased 243% over the last 2 decades.
Now, I'm wondering, do you happen to have the number that goes along with what has production increased at all?
Well, I think production has increased because we have a lot more sources of oil finding. So, you know, we're a few years away from being oil independent, but there's still, you know, when we talk about this of the world has pent up demand, you know, there's people that still go hungry in the United States and other countries. Other countries still don't have cars. Other countries still don't have electricity. Other countries still don't have roads. You know, all those things create demand, and people forget about how much we are exporting out of the United States every year. And those countries demand a lot of stuff. And we're becoming a bigger exporter of food than anybody else. And that's amazing. And it's just, you know, important to talk about that, but demand for natural resources to build buildings and to build things and grow things is just continues to, you know, just be unbelievable. Here's another interesting thing. 49% of the 820,000 foreign students, 49%, almost half of the foreign students who come here to study are from 3 countries: China, India, South Korea. Isn't that amazing? Half of them.
Wow.
And the college, most of these kids, well, the majority, not majority, the number of foreign students who go to USC, there's more foreign students there than any other place. That's a pretty tough school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But half of the foreign students who come here from three countries.
Well, we're talking about college, you know. And
yeah, college, yeah.
I was looking at cost of college. The average cost of private college for the current school year 2013 and 14 is $40,917, 2.2 times the $18,391 cost that it would be, pay for an in-state public college. And then 30 years ago, the cost of average private school was $7,759, and the average in-state was $3,433. Big increases.
No, big increases. You know, and we haven't really had much effect on curtailing that. You know, there's a lot of things that I would curtail, but a lot of things I could fix, but it doesn't seem like everybody wants to fix them. And, you know, it's pretty sad because they're running kids out of being able to afford to college. But
or they're running kids through college with such a high debt that they come out and they have a debt that's as high as a house.
Yeah, no, it's pretty scary. But that's, you know, we need to get on the show a president of Grand Valley or a president of, you know, some local colleges and talk about what are you doing to curtail the cost of colleges. But, you know, maybe we can get Janice to do that. Here's a real interesting thing, Kerry. How long was the Lincoln had the Gettysburg Address 150 years ago? 150 years ago. How long was that speech?
You know, you think of addresses to the Congress nowadays and things like that. Gettysburg Address. I'd say half hour.
2 minutes.
Only 2 minutes?
Yeah, would you ever see the Gettysburg Address? It's pretty small. 2 minutes. A man of few words.
Well, he got his point across.
No, but that's really good statistics. You can ask people, you know, over during this week, you know, a question. How long was the Gettysburg Address, Getty? 2 minutes. You know, it's always fun to talk about interesting statistics. So for those listeners out there, that's a good topic to talk about this week. I learned that with Jack and Kerry. 2 minutes.
Hey, any sport topics this week?
Yeah, there is. No, I don't have any.
Ah, shoot. Well, hey.
There is. Prince Fielder got traded for Texas. So, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, I know he didn't hit, but he's a quality player, hustled every day, and, you know, he played every day. So he has more 600 games he's played. You know, he's trying to get that Ironman award. But, you know, I liked Prince Fielder. He hustled. He ran. You know, he was a big guy, but he still hustled. And I know he had some personal issues going on, but I thought he was a quality guy.
Yeah, he worked hard, and I know that there's people on both sides of the fence, but you know what? We'll see. We'll wait and see what happens, right?
Yeah, here's some other numbers. I mean, if you look at the big numbers, people always like to look at large-cap growth, where we are, large-cap growth. Year over year, it's up 30%. Year-to-date, it's up 27%. Big numbers, three-year average, large-cap growth, 16% for 3 years, big numbers. Best place to be always is in small cap or large cap, or small cap or mid cap. If you look at mid cap growth, up 43% year over year. Mid cap growth up just a measly 34%. And these are just putting all your money on one box, and that's hard to think. You know, in those categories, we think 5 to 7% of your portfolio ought to be in that category. Where we think value is right now, we think there's more value in large cap right now, large cap blend growth and value. Because there's, when I say better value, you're not paying higher prices when you go there with your money. So we're overweighting people's portfolios if it fits in your portfolio in the large cap. Because we, you know, I spent a lot of time this week looking at people's portfolios and making some changes and moving them into more, if there's money available, moving them more into larger cap values. Because, again, you're paying less price for those.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I was looking at one of the things and by the numbers here. Individual income tax rates would have to increase how much, Jack, without you looking at the number, to pay our $680 billion deficit? How much would...
I'd say double.
52%.
I said double. That's 200%. So 52%, that's a big one. For those people, the 25% rate, you'd have to go to 37.5%.
Yep. Well, that's by the numbers. Anything else, Jack, that you have that we want to share with our listeners?
Well, you know, there's always things to share. You know, what happened, you know, Obamacare this week. You know, there's real interesting things going on there. You know, it's two people that I know of talked to a customer, bowling owner that owns the bowling center. He got canceled the last month, talked to his wife, and, you know, guess what? They get to keep their insurance at three times what they pay.
Exactly.
So, you know, so they've been canceled, and, you know, we need to get Stacey Campbell in there to talk about this, but they said, you could still keep it, but starting January 1st, it's going to cost three times as much.
Well,
guess what? We're not going to cover as much.
It's interesting you say that, because I think I shared this with two, you know, another business owner that I went and had my, you know, eyes checked, and he had the same thing. Insurance was canceled, but same thing. Hey, I can get to keep it, but the premium was three times as much. The deductible was higher, and it was not as good.
So, you know, those are some things out there in the marketplace. We still don't know what's going to happen. Rates are going to go up. Less is going to be covered. It's a pretty scary situation. I mean, we're coming to a big wall here, and I don't think the nation, you know, I talk to a lot of people about what do they fear the most. You know what they say? The federal government.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty sad when Americans fear the federal government. I mean, it's almost like talking about Russia. What do you fear? I fear the government. Only they fear for their lives. We fear for our economic lives is there's so many regulations, we can't do anything about it. We're required to pay a lot more money, and we're not getting a return for our money, which is going to be interesting. It's an interesting situation. You know, what are they fearful for? The federal government. So we're going to have to see what's good to stay tuned for the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, absolutely. And We're going to stay tuned for 7 Steps to Having a Retirement Independence and questions from our listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Dunn. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back, listeners, on this snowy morning. Hope that you're enjoying the Saturday morning. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters, and Jack and I have a lot more stuff to cover in the show, don't we, Jack?
Yep, a lot more. Today's Money Matters carry is being brought to you by Borman Law Offices. Mary Jo Borman is a state planning attorney located in our building at 123 East Main. Call Mary Jo at 616-772-2487 or visit her website at bormanlaw.com. And Kerry, the number of cases that we have referred over to Mary Jo is probably resolving or around resolving some of the problems with their misconception of trust, will, power of attorney, health care directive, and the way that they can transfer money from themselves to their children. And I always want to remind listeners of a thing that we use a lot is transfer on death. It's a beneficiary way that you can put it on your brokerage account, on your savings account, on your checking account that bypasses probate and it goes directly to your heirs. It's a very simple document. Not everybody needs a trust. Everybody needs a will. Will just tells people where your stuff's going to go. But you can solve a lot of issues with transferring stuff to your beneficiaries without having to go to probate or through the will process. Rachel's able to help you with that and clarify things. And that's a lot of things that people don't always get is, how does this happen? Who does it? Where do we go? Who's going to help them?
Well, it's like this past week. I had a person in that had a trust drawn up, but the couple had never taken the trust and gone out and retitled things to put into the trust. So they had a trust document, but really it wasn't serving its purpose because certain accounts, like their investment account, their bank accounts, had not been changed to the title of the trust. And that's one thing where Mary Jo does a very good job, and you know, we just need to make sure that people's assets get titled properly if they have a trust.
Yep, here's questions. We always try to answer a Social Security question and remind people we have Vonda Van Til coming up on our show January the 4th. Social Security is very, very important to all of us, and there's a strategy. Everybody has a different strategy, and I'm talking to more and more people who get it, but they're not going to take Social Security until 66, not 62, 66, all the way up to 70, because it fits their strategy. So question this week is, I'm single, divorced, and 62. Single, divorced, and 62. I'm trying to decide the best way to take my Social Security. I have a pension, savings, and individual retirement accounts. Should I apply for spousal benefits on my ex-husband's account at 62, 66, or let my Social Security grow till 70? What would be the impact on my Social Security if I take spousal benefits? No, that's a good question.
It's an excellent question.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I would do in that case is you need to talk to somebody at the Social Security office. And they're going to tell you what your benefits are now and with waiting. And then based on those numbers, sit down and figure out what's the best for your individual circumstance. Because it may be best just to start taking them as early as can based on your spouse. And if you've worked a lot of years, to maybe let yours continue to grow. So there's a lot of strategies here that it's going to be different for everyone that has gone through a situation like this.
Yep, and you have to remember, if you start collecting early, 62 versus 66, you're going to take a permanent reduction of 25%. Now, some of the strategies could be you're going to wait till 66, collect on your ex-spouse, and then take your own at 70. Some of those are strategies that you need to review. Social Security Department's really competent. Call them on the phone, make an appointment, go see them over there on Hastings Street in Holland. Lots of things you need to do, but it's pretty hard for us to answer that question without looking at your numbers. And one of the strategies that I try to tell people is just wait and give yourself a raise. Now, if you can't make it, you physically cannot live without it, you got to take it. But some people take it, put it in the bank, and lose that 8% growth. So, and I know we harp on this a lot, but Kerry, 10,000 people are retiring every day. 10,000. And I would say the majority of the people make wrong financial decisions on their retirement because they don't understand their budget. They don't understand the facts. They don't understand what it's going to take to give themselves a raise throughout their lifetime. And so with Social Security, it's very, very important you talk to some competent people.
Oh, absolutely. Great question here. Next question is, writes in from one of our listeners, if my broker suggests a certain mutual fund or product, how do I know if it's a good fund besides taking his or her word on it?
Well, you know, it's very easy site. If you have a computer, go on your computer, go to Yahoo Finance, type in the symbol. There's usually a 5-digit symbol for a mutual fund. You can look up the track record. You can go to Morningstar.com. It's a free site. Look up the thing. What star rating is it? Has it been good 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year? Always try to look at the 5, 10 in lifetime number. You know, not every fund makes money every year, but the good funds over time will average 8 to 10% for their lifetime. Depends on the type of fund. If you look at that, you know, that's going to give you a pretty good indication. Look at the expense ratio. Is it an expensive fund? Some funds are expensive by nature because they trade a lot. Trade a lot means that they are trying to buy the best thing all the time. So it really is. Take a look at the longer issue. Lots of funds can be successful, one-time wonders for 1 year. Take a look over a long period of time, and that's what I usually look at because I go through all of that every time I recommend a fund.
Yep, and we got backing from our research to help us back that too. Hey, the other question from one of our listeners is, just to make sure we've covered all things we needed to do before year end, what are the top 5 things to make sure we have done before year end? Now, this may be a little different for everybody out there depending on if they're a business owner or not business owner, or they self-employed and one person, but the normal things that we usually tell Jack and I, you know, jump in here, Jack, if you think different, but definitely go out there and fill up your Roth IRA. You know, if you're under 50, you can put away $5,500. If you're over 50, and as Jack always says, slightly over 50 like I am, you can add an additional 1,000 to that and put away $6,500. The other thing you need to do is use up all your flex spending money. You need to make sure those monies are used or you could lose that money. Charitable donations are also another important thing to have done before year end, especially if some of the best ways to give to charities is if you have appreciated stock that has gone up in value, and gifting that to the charity, they can sell it, they don't pay capital gains, you get the benefit of giving the full gift and you don't pay any taxes. Or those that are 70 and older have to give their required minimum distribution. You can gift all or part of that required minimum distribution to a charity and not have to pay tax on it, which is a great strategy this time of year and still available for this year. That may go away next year. And then talking about RMDs, you have to make sure that if you're over 70 and a half, you have to take your required minimum distribution out of your IRAs. And then one of the other things that we always verify, that the withholding amount money that you want to put into your 401k is what you want it to be. If you get a pay raise, sometimes increase that right along with it. So those are just some of the top things we usually recommend from an investing standpoint. Anything else to add to that?
Yes, well, there's a very important one. The very first thing is to fill up your Roth. Well, you can fill up your Roth all the way until you file your income tax next year. That's one thing you can do before April 15th. Or another important thing that I've been looking at people's portfolio right now is converting IRA, pay taxes on your IRA, take it to the Roth. Pay taxes on it, convert it to the Roth. All those people who are doing non-deductible IRAs, we always convert their Roth in December. Non-deductible, Kerry and I both do non-deductible because we make too much money to put in a Roth. We both put away $6,500 in a non-deductible IRA. So in December, we converted to the Roth for next year. So those are some strategies that people forget to do. And I've had more and more conversations with people the last three paychecks of the year, which are going to be November 30th, December 15th, December 31st. Take that money, put it all into your 401k. All that into your simple, all that into your SEP, because you don't need it. You've saved enough money. Deduct all of it. Put it all away. Put 100% of your check away, and you can do that.
Absolutely.
Those are just some tips.
Those are
questions.
The great questions. Thanks, listeners, for writing those in. How about, let's talk about the seven steps to retirement independence. And one of those is, you know, if you're planning on retirement, and you want to take care of yourself, here's seven ways to make sure that this can happen. Now, I know some of this will depend on your current situation, but number one on the list, don't retire until you're out of debt. Now, I know, Jack, that's a little different now with some people because of interest rates being so low, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it has to work the equation. And, it's always a number. You should be out of debt unless. You should do this unless you qualify for this. So, you know, there's a lot of people, Carrie, like us, that have mortgages, 15-year mortgages that are 2.75. I mean, I wouldn't pay it off because we know that we can always get you 5 or 6% over here. Take that extra, use that for your mortgage. If it fits you, don't do things that are crazy. But if you can't retire until you're out of debt, that makes a lot of sense. Still there's a lot of people with mortgages out there, 5 or 6%. Get them off the books, pay off your debt, and you can live a lot better in retirement if you have no debt.
Oh, absolutely. Or if you have a mortgage out there and it is at 5, 6%, like you said, you may want to check into, does it make sense to refinance? You know, so there's a lot of options here. But, yeah, if you have a mortgage at 2.3, you know, 2.75% or 3%, it's very inexpensive money. Use other people's money in this case and go out and use your own money to make a higher return.
Yep, the next thing is, you know, get a handle on your expenses. You know, more and more people, especially for those people, Carrie, where we've had the opportunity to move their cash balance plan for Herman Miller. Moved a lot of people, moved it from their 401k into their IRA. And getting down to talk to people, hey, I'm 5 years from retirement, 6 years from retirement. And you'd be surprised, people do not know their number. I just had this conversation with a Meyer employee that's thinking about retiring. You know your number. What's your number, and what are you going to need in retirement? What's it going to need to keep your lifestyle? I don't know. Well, you know, we will help you know your number. I mean, this is with 3.2% inflation or 2% inflation. I know earlier in the show I said we have no inflation, but there's always a little bit of inflation. What's your number going to look like 25 years down the road? Can you afford to live 25 years down the road? So gaining independence is knowing your number, and that's what majority of the people don't know their number, Carrie.
Oh, I know. And, you know, it's so important to get a hold of your, you know, overall expenses. You know, what do you spend for house, insurance, car? You know, and I know some people out there pay a lot of their bills monthly through their credit card, and one way to find out and help you with your budgeting and your expenses, you know, you look at your year-end statement from a credit card where you've done this, and this could help you get a handle on things too. Sometimes you think you know your expenses, but when you pull up the credit card and you see what you've actually spent in that category or that area, it will surprise you at times, but this is a tool to help you do that planning. You could go to our website and bring up our annual, you know, monthly expense calculator and get a total of what your average monthly expenses are. This is so, so important. You need to know where your money going. And even, you know, Jack, I know we always talk about this, the ATM. If you're going to the ATM and taking out cash, you need to keep track of that too. And that's, you know, a lot of times we get cash and we don't keep track of where that money goes. And that is money that you're spending. That's an expense that is out there.
Yep, you know, number three for independence is make sure you have enough money. It goes back to your budget, goes back to your expenses, going back to what kind of money you're going to need 10 years, 15 years down the road. It's so many people say, well, I can make it. Well, what's that mean? I can make it. that sounds like you're going to be poor in 10 years. I mean, if you're just going to make it today, you can't retire. You can retire, but I'm not going to recommend it. And, you know, we sit down with a lot of people in these meetings, and I go, I don't think you should retire. I mean, we have to give them the bad news. I mean, it's you got a little bit of leakage here on what you think you're going to be able to do. And you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to find an extra job. You know, I had to call out two people this past week and say, did you get an extra job yet? No. Well, I go, then I don't think you can retire.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, listeners, we're going to take a short break here. We're going to be right back with our last four of the seven, you know, things that you need to do for retirement independence. So stay tuned. And welcome back, listeners. This is Kerry Cooley. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters, and I have Jack calling in from Detroit. So welcome back to the last session. So, Jack, we're talking about the seven steps to having retirement independence. The first three included don't retire until you're out of debt, get a handle on the expenses, and how about people don't have enough money, so they need to get an extra job when they want to retire. And what's the next one on the list, Jack?
Well, number four, this is a serious one. We talked about that at the start of the show, is what about health care? Right now, if you're under 65, majority of the people, some people are going to have their pensions and where they work are going to offer them health care to get them to 65. But the people who are under 65 and you think you're going to retire early, you better know your number, because I don't know. If I was to retire today, I wouldn't have a clue, Kerry, what my health care is going to cost me for 2014. This is a scary situation for a majority of people. Where are you going to get it? How are you going to pay for it? What's it going to cover? Can you afford to pay this deductible that you're going to pay for some procedures? A lot of people had a niece say that, I guess she's not retirement, but my drug that I take for the disease that I have is not going to be covered under my health care plan. You better know some of those things about your health care plan if you're going to pull the plug at the end of this year, because I don't think many people can tell you that. Even insurance agents are going to have a hard time telling you. We don't know what it's going to look like. You're walking into a dark room. Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the important thing to remember, if you want to retire early, that health care cost could possibly be yours. You know, your monthly premium, if you retire early at 62, you don't have Medicare. And that cost of health care coverage is going to come out of your pocket. That's going to be something that you're going to have to add to your expense sheet if it's been covered by your employer before. Something that you're going to have to add to your expenses and add that into the budget.
And if you are retired, you are on Medicare, well, that's fine, but you still need Medigap insurance to cover some of those things that are not covered under Medicare. Everybody listening should have that extra insurance that's going to cover prescriptions, dental, et cetera, eye care. You need to have some of those if you can afford it. I mean, that's the whole thing, curious, is it affordable? And we're talking about people getting to financial independence before you retire. So healthcare, number four. Number five, you know, companionship brings that independence. And, you know, how much money does your spouse bring to the table, your significant other bring to the table, and what happens if they die early? That is a very important thing people forget about. Oh, my heavens, my husband took his pension. He took it as 100% pay. He took it as a single life. And if he dies early, I'm not going to get it. Well, that's a problem. So your companionship has a lot to do with your getting your independence. So some of that is you might need life insurance. If your spouse dies early, you better have life insurance to cover him for the next 15, 20 years if he dies early. So you need to think about what your companion brings to the retirement table.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, going along with that is, you know, going out, hanging out with friends, doing different activities. When you're retired, it's very important to stay active, you know, physically and just, you know, going out for dinner with friends and staying connected, doing different things, volunteering. These are all important things to do and part of your staying healthy also. So companionship is very important in different ways. Number six is do something worthwhile. And when I say worthwhile, you know, Jack, you mentioned it, part-time job. How about volunteering for one of the, you know, great nonprofit agencies around here that need help? Are just a few of the things. And Jack, I know we're down to about a minute here. So number 7, don't worry, be happy. I think that's a song, isn't it?
Yeah, don't be happy like my mom, Carrie. She's happy. She's 91 as of November 17th. Love you, Mom. Happy birthday. We're coming to the end of our show. Next week's show, annual financial checkup. Carrie and I will be off next week for Thanksgiving, but that's a tape-recorded show. So, listeners, we always appreciate you tuning in to us. And Carrie, have a great weekend. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters.
Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great weekend and enjoy and have fun. Take care. This is WHTC Money Matters. And this is Carrie Cooley and Jack Godfrey.
You've been listening to WHTC Money Matters with your hosts, Jack Godfrey and Carrie Cooley from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zealand. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Be sure to join us next Saturday at the same time for WHTC Money Matters on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.